With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Although during batting practice, getting some work in, just not 100% yet.
That ball's drilled, and that's a home run. Mauricio Dubon hits his third of the year and puts the Astros on the board here in the bottom half of the fifth inning.
Doobie doing it.
We got to do better than that, Jeff Blum. Paul Galacho, welcome aboard on this Wednesday, June 14th of 2023. You heard the voice guy himself, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Jump aboard it by phone, by text, 713-780-3776, as Mr. Voiceman himself said. That's Spencer Tillman. You can also get after us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or tweet us at Gallant says at ESPN 97.5, at Sean A. Mapes. The Washington Nationals are an abomination to baseball, an absolute affront. I have no idea who any of the guys on their roster are, so it's good that the Astros took care of business last night 6-1 and helped out with a little victory from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They're now just 3.5 games back of the Texas Rangers, who have suddenly lost 5 of 6. Kind of annoying that the Astros couldn't make up more ground over the weekend against the Cleveland Guardians. But here we are, a team without Yordan Alvarez, a team that is being carried by the guy that you heard coming into this show. Mauricio Dubon had one of 4 home runs for the Houston Astros, along with a couple other guys, Chaz McCormick, Jose Abreu as well. And it's interesting to note the 2 of the 3 guys that we've discussed, the guys who have been carrying the Astros offense. Mauricio Dubon, no one would have thought that going into the year. Good for him cultivating all that mass into actual production in an expanded role this year. But if you go back to when the Astros had that series against the Toronto Blue Jays, from the second game on, hell, the first game of that series, you've seen a lot of multi-hit games from Dubon. And while he didn't have that yesterday, he got yet another home run. Then on top of that, I know that it's a very limited sample size that we're talking about, but Jose Abreu has, in his last 5 games, 4 multi-hit games, a double, and 2 home runs. He had 2 hits last night. He got his 1,500th hit. He had a double. This is where the Astros offense is at this point in time, Sean Mapes. It is being carried by Mauricio Dubon and Jose Abreu, which I think can get it done against bums like the Nationals. Hopefully some other guys wake up.
Do you think that the Astros scored not enough runs, too many runs, or just enough runs?
This is just enough, Sean.
Okay.
I think we established,
we talked about this with Ross yesterday and throughout the season, of when they explode, they do score too many runs. Like, it's dumb, but that's what happens. They score too many runs.
7 is dangerous. 8, too many.
Way too many.
6, perfect.
Okay.
Especially with the way that the Astros, for the most part, have been pitching this year. Still up towards the top of baseball in a lot of pitching categories. The problem is the offense is in the middle of the road, especially from a home run perspective. But 4 home runs last night, that certainly helps. You had a home run from Mauricio Dubon. You had a home run from Chaz McCormick. You had a home run as well from Martin Maldonado. Home run number 100 for his career. That's a surprise.
Chasing Bonds.
He's close. He's just got
663 more to pass him.
Something like that. Yep. And you got a home run from Kyle Tucker, too.
Atlanta Braves back on September 6th of that year. Tucker drives one.
That ball's high. That ball's deep. That ball's gone. King Tut, number 9 on the year. 2-0 Astros on a couple of solo shots.
It's got to be the BGs.
I have no idea what that means. None. But hey, Jeff Blum, we're spitballing. We're doing writer's room things. 11:30 today, we're going to do our own writer's room as we try to figure out what the hell to talk about over the next couple of weeks. Kyle Tucker has been, let's be honest, disappointing to this point in the year. This is a guy that we all believe to be, at his best, top 10 player. Statistically, he was that a couple of years ago. He was in the MVP conversation. But to this point this season, his .269 average is 56th. He's tied for 66th in home runs with 9. He's tied for 29th in RBIs with 39. He's tied for 70th in OPS with a 787. None of that is bad, but if you're trying to get paid, you got to pick up the slack. And if you take a look at what Kyle Tucker has brought to the table, really, over the last week or so, going back to June 6th, that loss to the Toronto Blue Jays, he had 0 hits in that game. He had 0 hits last Wednesday. He had 0 hits last Thursday. 2 hits on Friday. 0 hits Saturday. 1 Sunday. A home run yesterday. He's got to do more. And I know I'm sounding all negative after the Astros actually won a game last night. But again, the Nationals are an absolute waste of everybody's time. These are the games that I really want to get through. And I don't think it's too much to ask for the Astros to go 6-0 over this stretch, right? I mean, if we take a look at what the Astros have done over the course of the last couple of weeks, they had a couple of sweeps of the Oakland A's. They had a sweep of the Chicago Cubs. 6 wins in a row. Nationals stink. Reds stink. New York Mets also stink, though on a paper, that roster is actually pretty damn good. And I just want to reemphasize this. The Nationals aren't trying, right? I mean, I know that some of you nerds who actually like pay attention to minor league baseball and stuff, you'll probably bring up that the Nationals have a couple of prospects who are good that are playing right now. I don't know. I don't care. I think it's an absolute disgrace that that team was in the World Series in 2019, beat you in 2019, and that they have essentially reverted back to absolute nothing like the Florida Marlins did when they were the Florida Marlins and the Kansas City Royals did. I mean, they've quit on their fans after giving them a drug. You can't give them something that they love and then be like, all right, that's enough. We're not even going to try to contend anymore. I know a lot of baseball owners do that. Baseball owners, low-key the cheapest and low-key the biggest cowards because they never talk and they always hide behind Rob Manfred, the meat shield. But the Nationals are a joke. And it's a joke that they were a World Series champion just a couple of years ago.
Hey, they locked up Steven Strasburg, all right? And he hasn't pitched like on that new contract, basically, but still, they locked him up.
Yeah.
He has like nerve damage that keeps him from pitching now. But
right.
Hey, so what that they let Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, Matt Scherzer, all these guys, everyone, literally everyone except for Patrick Corbin, who pitched last night, and Steven Strasburg. Literally, so what, all the other 24 guys are gone.
Sean, it's a joke that teams don't try to keep contending when they actually win a championship.
They let Bryce Harper walk the year before.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they just didn't sign anyone.
And again, Bryce Harper, that's understandable. Bryce Harper was looking for $300 million. I'm not sure if he got that exactly from the Philadelphia Phillies. All I know is he wanted a lot. But when you look at a team like the Nationals, that is the possibility for a lot of teams across baseball. And again, there are a lot of things to nitpick with Jim Crane, with Jeff Bagwell, with all the other people that were involved in a couple of bad decisions this offseason for the Astros. Michael Brantley, when the hell is he going to play? Jose Abreu, to this point, though of late it's been nice, it's been a loss. Rafael Montero, good God, that one is not getting any better anytime soon. So obviously you have some criticisms of those guys, but at the very least they are still finding ways to compete. Part of that has to do with the fact that Jeff Luhnow did such a damn good job with all the things that he did while running the Astros and building up that farm system and finding guys who weren't valued by their respective franchises and finding ways to maximize pitchers who weren't pitching the same way that they had been. I would point to Verlander. Hell, I'd point to Gerrit Cole, too. Like, there's a lot of things that they deserve credit for, but I think more than anything, they deserve credit for continuing to try and win. Is that coming at a loss in the red for Jim Crane? I don't know. It's a nice reminder every now and then, but it's also a reminder the Astros need to take care of business today, tomorrow against the Nationals, and in this series against the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend. Win all six of those games. We're holding you to a standard. Get back in first place. Theoretically possible with the way that the Rangers are playing against the Los Angeles Angels at this moment in time. The Angels didn't even have Mike Trout last night, and they, I think, went through six pitchers, and they still ended up beating Texas.
Oh, of course they won. They didn't have Mike Trout in the lineup.
That's true.
Right, Paul?
That's true. Mike Trout possibly holding the Los Angeles Angels to Van Halen.
Clubhouse cancer, Mike Trout. It is interesting, though, looking at like the past winners. And basically, like, the Dodgers are still, like, kind of good. Like, they won in 2020, and they were good for that entire stretch. And the Braves in 21, they're still good. But that is, like, very recent still. But if you go back to, like, 2019, Nationals stink. The Red Sox basically blew up their team, like, within 2 years for basically no reason. They're the Boston Celtics – or Boston Red Sox.
Right.
And then, yeah, you have, like, the Cubs who won. And they – kind of just rode out that core until they all came up for free agency and they let them all go.
That is truly incredible.
2015 was the Royals.
And look.
They had like a little blip, you know.
It's easy to criticize some other teams too. I saw Jeremy Branham making fun of the Mets for the contracts they gave out this offseason.
Yeah.
I'm not going to knock the Mets. The Mets at least try.
At least
right?
They did it in a very dumb way, signing like 40 and 39-year-old pitchers to That's top ages. Of the market deals. But, I mean, yeah, if it's something the Astros did, we would be like, oh, my God, what is wrong? Like,
right.
What is going on? Why did we sign these guys?
It would be.
We're upset about, like, Rafael Montero.
That is, again, just inexcusable, but you're right. Look, I think that the Nationals stink. It should be a reminder of how good the Astros are. And this stretch for the Astros right now, they should go 6-0 against the Nationals and Reds. And they probably have a chance to sweep the Mets, too, to wrap up this 9-game homestand that they're on. It opened up Star Wars night. Have you ever worn a Star Wars costume on a date, Sean Mapes? Have you ever done that?
Not on a date, no.
I did. I did once.
I thought you were just going to end with have you ever worn Star Wars costume.
I wore a Chewbacca costume. Didn't have the mask. On a date.
The mask is the most important part.
But it was like a Chewbacca onesie.
You're
just
a hairy man if you don't have the
mask. It was a
mask.
Fuzzy Chewbacca onesie. Went on a date with a girl. I think it was like our fourth or fifth date. I even told her, I'm wearing this to the movie to go see the, what was it, Rise of Skywalker? Was that the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember we both left, and I was like, yeah, I just want to go home. That movie was so bad. She actually thought it was funny. There's a picture of me in front of the poster, but I saw the movie, and I was
She thought the movie was funny? You dressed up as Chewbacca to watch that movie.
She thought me dressed up as Chewbacca was funny and cute. Yeah. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
No, just...
No, you seem like you're being condescending right now. You are 100% being condescending.
No. Good for you, Paul.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for me. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm just saying, I did it. I have the balls to do it. A lot of you betas out there. You won't wear Star Wars costume to a date. Next time, I'm going to wear Darth Maul. Is Darth Maul blackface? I don't know. Paul Galancho, stick around. Up next, a new segment because there are so many injuries with the Astros. Let's play doctor. Let's try to figure out what the hell's going on with guys like Yordan Alvarez and Lance McCullers and more. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
A whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the incarceration by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Hey, man. I mean, we just have to, you know, do what we can to, you know, try to score as many runs as we can. And, you know, Yordan's a ways off, so, you know, we gotta carry on until he gets back.
That's true. And the Astros did hit four home runs without Yordan Alvarez last night. Mauricio Dubon, Kyle Tucker, Martin Maldonado, Chaz McCormick all going deep in a 6-1 victory for the Astros. Now just 3.5 games back of the Texas Rangers, who lost to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim last night. I've seen a couple of people getting very bullish with Jose Abreu predictions as well. Abreu had another two-hit night, his fourth in the last five games. Let's see a bit more of an extended sample size, right? We're talking about games against Cleveland and Washington for the most part. So I'm excited. By excited, I mean like there's a little bit of movement, but I'm not fully excited. That's not a pants 10 over Jose Abreu. Sean Mapes is shaking his head. Whatever, man. Whatever.
You could have just said excited. You didn't have to.
I have to say it because
potty mouth.
I'm not, Sean, I'm disgusting. Not the one with it. I'm not the random person who's tweeting at me saying, like, mark my words, Bray's going to have an awesome second half of the year. Okay, cool, maybe. I'm not Dick Willie on the Twitch chat saying the same crazy things as well. I do suppose on Twitch it's a nice change of pace from the random political side tangents that he tries to take us on. Jesus. Anyway, speaking of side tangents that we generally go on, you know, the Houston Astros love to treat us the same way that Detective Dignam treats the FBI in The Departed. Feed them bleep, keep them in the dock. So I thought it's time to start a new Astros segment as we try to figure out who's healthy, who isn't, entirely based off of what the Astros tell us. The segment is called Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us. You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Here's the latest on Yordan Alvarez per Dana Brown this morning on the Astros flagship. Oblique injuries are tricky. It'll take 2 weeks to see how he's healing, then one week to see if he's doing baseball activities. That's 3 weeks right there. We don't want to rush or put a timeline on it. Let's add some more context to what Yordan's going through. You heard Dusty Baker coming into the segment saying he's a ways off. Dusty, before yesterday's game, said he doesn't know if Yordan had an MRI, and even if he did have an MRI, he can't share it due to HIPAA. He said to ask the trainer about Yordan. By the way, the Astros trainer, as always, not made available. I just want to see Chandler Rome's face every single time the Astros trainer isn't made available. We also heard from Dusty on Sunday that Yordan's return is still up in the air a little bit. Will take a week to get a feel for how long, but now per Dana Brown, it's 2 to 3 weeks. My prognosis as a learned doctor, or from the house of a learned doctor, Yordan Alvarez is going to be out a month. 1 month. I know some of you guys are thinking to yourself, that's not good. Probably not great. I do have Texas to wrap up the month. 4-game series in Arlington. Might be a little tricky. Who else is injured on the Houston Astros? Oh, we have this from Lance McCullers. Still waiting to see what the results of that MRI that was announced he would get over the weekend. But Dana Brown said he's frustrated and that McCullers' most recent setback is similar to the forearm discomfort he felt in February. Paul Gallant's prognosis? McCullers is out for the year. And I don't want to go so far as to say I don't know if he ever pitches for the Astros again, but we're getting there. I mean, what happens if this forearm discomfort continues? Are they going to do the second Tommy John surgery on Lance McCullers? What happens to McCullers after that? Jeremy Pena. He missed Sunday's game. For Dusty Baker, he was sick. He also missed yesterday's game against the Washington Nationals. Define sick. What is sick? Diarrhea? The mud butt? Food poisoning? Conjunctivitis?
Flu-like symptoms?
Uh-oh, COVID?
That's my favorite, flu-like symptoms.
New strain, Sean Mapes.
Oh, yeah, I don't know enough about the Greek alphabet to know what strain it is.
Doesn't seem like there was much. Like, there wasn't an alpha. There wasn't a beta.
I think the first one was alpha, right?
No, I think the first one was. The first one I heard of was Delta. Huh.
No, but I'm saying, like, COVID original was
I
alpha.
Guess it could be. It could not. They were very confusing.
All right, 713-780-37. Call right. in with your COVID misinformation, please. whatever you remember from Facebook in 2020, 2021.
We had a bunch of people supposedly lined up to call in to ask us questions about the Astros radio schedule.
No, anyone's schedule.
Anyone's schedule.
Yeah, schedule of anyone. Gilbert was asking about the Astros, but anyway. The bench try to prank us.
Gilbert.
Yeah, we have
man.
You can't get past our screeners. We have the best screeners in the game.
Real thankful for the bench's longest running bit, Gilbert. It's just riveting radio. Hey, Astros ER continues. Jose Urquidy could throw off a mound as early as this weekend. That means he's probably 2 months away.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't Lance McCullers throw off a mound not too long ago? And now we're, now we're waiting for MRI results.
He's throwing off a mound? Oh, that's better. It's better than flat ground.
It was better for Lance McCullers, too, until it wasn't. The progress to health, the healing for the Astros is not, like, linear. It's not, like, you make one step, and then you make one step, and you make one step, and then you're back. It's, you make one step, and then, wait, we're going to stop. Hold on. Go back. Okay, now you make a step, and now it's the offseason. You won't hear about it for 3 months. And now it's spring training, and they're back.
Hooray!
But actually, we're going to slow it down a little, ramp them down.
Here's all I know about injuries with pitchers now is that throwing off flat ground isn't good, but throwing off a mound is good. That's it. But that has no...
It's a step up.
It has no bearing on how the shoulder's actually doing. It's just, well, I guess he's throwing from elevated ground now.
He's closer to pitching.
How does throwing on flat ground versus throwing off of a mound affect your shoulder or forearm that much differently?
Because I think it's like you're just like kind of... You're not going full speed or, you know, you're not going full go when it's on the flat ground.
Okay.
When you're on the mound, because that is what you're building here. You're building to actually pitch on a mound at some point, unless you're Lance McCullers. And then when you're on the mound, you're closer to coming back.
That checks out. I spaced out entirely while you said all of that, but sure, I think so.
But I can hear that you're no longer talking, so now it is my turn to talk.
I mean, that's where we're at whenever these guys talk about injuries. Ooh, bonus non-Astro injury. Let's play doctor here. PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan is, quote, recovering from a medical issue. Does that mean he has hemorrhoids? Like, it must be hemorrhoids.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, just maybe Tiger put something in his coffee or something at a meeting? When the scorned PGA guys?
Could be Mossad. I mean... An anti-Saudi
they made hot enemies in
agency,
high places.
Right? I don't know.
It's like North Korea, where they would like spray people in the face with like mist at the airport.
North Korea is really good at assassinating people. That's why the People's Republic is always on our good list. That's why we always send a gift to Kim Jong Un once a year. I don't want to end up getting poisoned at an airport or. Kidnapped, brought to North Korea, and shot at by anti-aircraft guns.
It's you and Dennis Rodman.
Right.
Two best friends of Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm. Jay Monahan is recovering from a medical issue, so that means President Tyler Dennis will take over. I just wanted to play this audio by Tyler from Jimmy Dunn, So Jimmy Dunn is the guy that Jay Monahan credits for sealing the deal that led to the tour and LIV Golf uniting. And there's been a lot of questions about like whether or not the Saudis were involved in September 11th. But I'm glad that someone like Jimmy Dunn is involved with the PGA, because somebody, even if they did just broker a deal with the Saudis, somebody needed to pull a Mark Wahlberg and say this.
Deal with it. And if someone can find someone that unequivocally was involved with it, I'll kill them myself. You don't have to wait around.
Jimmy Dunn, I mean, would you replace Jay Monahan with Jimmy Dunn, a PGA Tour commissioner who threatens to kill people who were involved in 9/11? That's who I want as my commissioner.
Is his life going to be a new Gerard Butler movie? I'd watch. PGA commish.
PGA behind, is
he's
falling.
Behind enemy lines. He doesn't know who to trust. And he comes on, you know, he gets handed a manila envelope and, oh my God, I had to kill someone with my bare hands. And he's the PGA commissioner.
Yes. He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. I'd watch that. Coming up next, J.J. Watt won't even sign a one-day contract with the Houston Texans. Plus, a diva wide receiver is going full diva wide receiver. The latest on that. Don't go anywhere.
You've been enjoying ESPN 97.5. Time for you to tell a friend about this brilliance.
He tells two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues. Yesterday, J.J. Watt did a press conference with Houston media after it was announced that he will have his name etched in eternity. The Houston Texans Ring of Honor, along with Bob McNair and Andre Johnson. He's going to get his cute little red jacket. Anyway, he said that he's not going to sign a one-day contract with the Texans. Huh?
We had talked about this at that time of the release. I mean, obviously, we're going through a very tough time, a difficult time. And we knew that this day was going to come, that we were all going to reunite and come back together. As far as a one-day contract, like, I personally just don't really understand or see the reason for it. I mean, it's more of just a ceremonial piece of paper. I think that this, the Ring of Honor and all of that comes with it is more than enough. I think this is they've done it first class the whole way, and I appreciate that.
It's just a piece of paper? No, it's the last contract you'll ever sign, JJ. Here's what I'm wondering. Has JJ ever signed up for something, not read the fine print, and perhaps found out all of a sudden that he signed up for something he didn't ask for? Because that would be a reason to avoid signing something. And it's okay, JJ. Jack Easterby isn't here anymore to do something like that.
Wait, I let me look at this contract. I thought this was a remote, rustic cabin. This place is way too nice.
Something. I
thought this was going to be Rocky IV.
Something must have happened. Well, look, if you're going to get a rustic cabin, you're not actually going to make it rustic.
I guess.
If you're going to buy a cabin, no, you build a cabin if you want it to be rustic.
If you're J.J. Watt.
I think J.J. Watt could build a cabin.
He could, yeah.
With
he
his didn't. Bare
he
hands,
bought
probably.
He bought a ski lodge.
You know what? If I were J.J. Watt.
And then he told us all it was Rocky IV.
I would buy a ski lodge if I were J.J. Watt.
No, but you wouldn't lie about it.
I might have
because,
fun with it.
Because it'll get found out.
I think I would.
With him.
Well, I think because J.J. Watt set the precedent, I would have fun with it. And I would say, yes,
well, yeah, now.
I have a rustic cabin in Aspen.
Yeah.
A rustic Aspen cabin on the slopes with armed guards and two jacuzzis.
Whoa.
Yeah, you got to go big. Nothing like a pool, nothing like a jacuzzi after a day on the slopes. Am I right, fellas? Big skiing guy here. No, not that kind of skiing. Get back on topic.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt. thinks the Texans are going in the right direction.
I really do think there's very, very exciting things coming up. I mean, we went through some tough times to get to these days, and you had to kind of build that arsenal. I think Nick had to obviously do some things that you don't necessarily always want to do as a GM, to put yourself in a situation to have a draft like they just had and kind of push all your chips into the middle of the table and say, all right, now we're going to do it. Now we're on this swing. And it, from year to year now, it's a combination of adding more and more pieces and developing the ones that you do have.
I agree and disagree here. Todd, the show, twitch.tv/ESPN975, says Nick is a moron. No, that's just wrong. He's a moron? Based off of what? Highlight an example, please. You can't say that. The guy was a part of the greatest run in sports history for two decades. Sorry. I'm not accepting that. You got to give me actual examples here. JJ's right and wrong here. He's right in that the Texans are moving in the right direction. He is not right in saying that we definitively know that the roster moves that they have just made this offseason are part of that right direction. Everything that they have done off the field, from hiring D'Amico Ryans to bringing J.J. Watt back into the building, and the things that they did in the draft just from a, wow, I'm excited about the Texans perspective, those things are good. We do not know for sure whether or not the moves they have made are heading in the right direction. Now, that said, they have made some nice moves over the last calendar year. We'll see what's up with Derek Stingley. The more conversation I hear on the outside looking in at the Texans defense, and specifically Lovie Smith, the better I feel about Derek Stingley's chances in year two. Kenyon Green, I'm starting to look at as a possible lost cause. But Jalen Petrie, Damian Pierce, Christian Harris, the Texans, I thought, did a really good job in the middle round of the draft last year. And, you know, to go back to Todd the Show's point, yeah, you can't call a general manager a moron for that. And what? You really thought that they were going to get a big return for the Brandon Cooks? They gave him that big contract, clearly thinking that Brandon Cooks would stick around. And Cooks, for whatever reason, got miffed when Jack Easterby left the building, among other things. I don't know what you're supposed to do there. Cooks signed essentially a two-year, I'm-going-to-stay-here contract a year after saying, I never want to be traded again. Then he asked for a trade at the trade deadline and didn't show up for work. Honestly, embarrassing as a professional to operate in that way. Cooks could not get enough slander. Diva wide receiver BS. Can't stand it. But we'll see if the moves the Texans are making are making them take steps in the right direction. It's about the stuff that they're doing off the field.
Speaking of diva wide receivers.
Hey, let's talk about Stephon Diggs. What the bleep is going on between the Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs? So, Diggs was absent from mandatory minicamp yesterday. He was there on Monday, though, for pre-minicamp medical testing. Sean McDermott was asked about Stephon Diggs' absence yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
How concerned are you about that?
Oh, very concerned. Yeah, very concerned.
So it's not an excuse.
I'm not going to get into it. And listen, I respect everyone's questions and what they want to know about our team. Right now, I'm not going to get into that anymore. So we'll talk about practice. Happy to do that. Happy to answer those questions.
That sounds bad. Josh Allen, star quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, said that he and Diggs are working on their communication.
I want to get back on the same page with him. And again, he makes me a better quarterback, and I feel like I make him a better receiver. And as an organization, maybe not communicating the right way with everything. So again, just trying to talk and listen at the same time and hear him out. And like I said, just try to move this forward as quickly and as respectfully as, you know, as possible.
That man is whipped by his diva wide receiver. We're working on communications. Diggs is the one who was crying in the middle of that playoff game. Why? I don't know. But generally, when a wide receiver is upset on the sideline, it's because he thinks he was open on every single play, which sometimes is true. But it usually speaks more to a wide receiver's selfishness, i.e. Antonio Brown, in a game where he got targeted 17 times by the Pittsburgh Steelers, throwing a temper tantrum on the sideline because other wide receivers, their tight end at the time, forget his name, and Juju Smith-Schuster also got 10-plus targets. This is the stuff that you get when you pay big money to wide receivers. And why, while I'm not thrilled with the DeAndre Hopkins trade that Bill O'Brien made, you got to wonder what he was like behind closed doors, especially when he's not showing up to practice. Allen continued when asked about Diggs, with reporters to the side saying, quote, internally, we're working on some things not football related. Again, this sounds like an actual relationship with a love interest. Not football related. Steph is my guy. I bleeping love him. He's a brother of mine. This does not work what we're doing here without him. Is Josh Allen spending too much time with the star of Disney Plus's hit show, Hawkeye? He's supposedly dating that girl. Fun fact.
Thank you. Thank you for
You're
that
welcome
fact.
For the TMZ
Thank
side
Thank you for
note.
The fact that he's supposedly dating this girl. Also, I just love the idea, like in the clip that we played where he just goes, yeah, we're talking, we're working on talking and listening at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's very hard to do, to talk and listen at the same time.
Yes, because I rarely do it.
Yeah.
I can speak. Hand to God. What does Stephon Diggs have to say? Well, late last night, he posted this to his Instagram. Is this a rap lyric, Sean? You're going to have to help me out here. I just be letting people cap, which means lie, in case you're not hip like me. If them lies help you sleep better, tell them, big dog. D-A-W-G. I like spelling it like that, too. One time it backfired. My phone been silent for like 6 years. I own play all them sounds and bleep. That is true, too. Anyone who leaves their phone on volume full is an absolute psycho. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're their grandparent or psycho.
I leave it on loud only when I'm expecting someone to call me.
Yep.
And I generally don't want to take that call because picking up the phone in 2023, if you are 35 or under, hard pass, I think, for the most part.
It's also like, whenever you're expecting a call, it's never like 100% good. You know, it's at best, it could go either way. And most of the time, it's you're expecting bad.
Have you ever dated a caller, Sean? Someone who calls, who needs to call on the phone regularly?
No, well, because I think this might be a small generation gap. And like, there's still some people your age that might call, might not. It is a complete no-go for everyone like my age and around there.
Sean, a person that I dated earlier this year, this person called a lot and in her 20s.
Wow.
Around your age, called a lot.
Then I guess I've been just been lucky. I also give a very do not call me energy.
Yeah.
They're talking.
I'm going to call you after the show today to test that.
No, the wheelhouse. One day I was listening as I was getting food, and they're talking about how the new iOS update where you can leave like voicemail FaceTimes, and I told Cody, I was like, I hate FaceTimes. Like, I cannot stand it when people like randomly FaceTime me, and then he just FaceTimed me like in the middle.
Oh, of course he's going to.
Yeah.
He's a very good troll, that one.
I just said, no way.
One of my friends, let's call him Kyle, FaceTimes me a lot because that's his actual name. And I'm like, why? And it's generally later at night when, like, he's been out and he's maybe had a drink or two. And I'm like, you could just text me. And you can really tell, like, when your friends, and I'm not talking about Kyle here, but, like, if someone's FaceTiming you a lot, either, I mean, they want to get a little freaky deaky or they are hammed. But I will say, I do make exceptions now. Whenever if I get a FaceTime, it's generally from my sister. It's because I get to see my godson. My godson is a very cute kid. I love talking with him. He's extremely goofy on it, and he actually, you know, pays attention. And he tries to feed. Like, generally, this happens when he's eating, and he'll try to feed me through the camera, which I think is really adorable.
No, the youth, like the family, they get a pass on the FaceTime. Yeah, I get it. It's like, if you're another adult FaceTiming another adult, it better be something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be like Kyle. Don't be like a lot of people.
Yes, don't do that.
When you think about, should I FaceTime this person randomly? Nah, probably not.
Here's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Houston Texans have a quarterback rotation at practice.
Huh?
We'll discuss.
We're ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, thriving on chaos.
I'm here to kill chaos. That's my chaos.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Yeah, both of our guys, as it's happened, they've been rotating each week. As you guys came to practice, you've seen we've rotated those guys each week, and this just happened to be the week that CJ was with the ones.
Well, that's fun. That's Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans at Texans mandatory minicamp practice yesterday. There will be another availability with Ryans later today. DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN.com and I are going to be doing a recap of Texans minicamp later today with the Talkin' Texans podcast. We've actually got 8 episodes up on ESPN's YouTube channel, so check that out later. To bring it back to this, last week I said, I feel like this is a waste of time, and it's performative. Part of the reason I believe it's performative is because I have eyes, and I don't see Davis Mills having a future as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Backup, maybe, sure. But I feel like right now they're just trying to make sure that everybody in the Texans are treated the same, and that the second overall pick isn't treated any differently than the guy who was the starter for most of the last 2 seasons. Ryans was also asked yesterday at minicamp when he expects to name a starting quarterback. Here's what he had to say.
We'll see where their process goes in training camp, and we'll see, you know, as the competition continues to grow, right, we'll see who separates themselves, and that decision will take care of itself.
Great. So it's going to take care of itself because Mills can't move. Mills is not good at throwing passes to the sideline, and I suppose that Bobby Slowick's offense could make things a little bit easier for Mills or something like that, but I mean, come on. We're not going anywhere in Houston with Davis Mills under center, and I do get fan frustration over this continued attempt to keep Davis Mills in our life. It's okay. Sometimes you let people go, right? You're not going to stay in touch with everybody that you meet. You're not. You try, but you're not. You're not going to do it. I'm okay letting Davis Mills go. I am. And it does feel like the Texans are just trying to keep him in our lives a little bit longer. And I don't know what the purpose is other than, again, like making it seem to the rest of the roster like C.J. Stroud is just like anybody else. But anyone knows in that locker room, that's not the case. Everyone knows that this is the future. Unless he is Jamarcus Russell level lazy or Johnny Manziel level bleep up, I do not see for the life of me how anyone in that organization is going to look at C.J. Stroud and say, oh my God, wait, maybe it should be Davis Mills. Anyway, he wants a quarterback, said Ryans, that's not going to be overly cautious with the football yesterday.
With the quarterback, it's all about confidence, right? We want him to rip it, right? We want him, if you see it, go through your progression, you see it, make it happen, right? We understand not every ball is going to be perfect. You're not going to protect it all the time, but I never want our quarterback playing afraid to make a mistake. I want everybody playing to their maximum potential and attacking everything that we do.
We all want that. I think there were moments where Mills showed that. The problem is he's just not going to throw into the sideline of the field. And I think the one thing that you did see from C.J. Stroud in college is the guy is very accurate. Going through his progressions, okay, we'll see. But the Texans are rotating back and forth between starting quarterbacks at both OTAs and minicamps, basically by practice. We're not available. They're not available to the media every single one of these practices. So it's seemed like at times Mills has been benched for Stroud, but that hasn't actually been the case. I hope this thing resolves itself sooner rather than later. I really don't want to see any Mills this season. I don't even want to see him in the preseason, to be honest, but I might just not watch the preseason to take care of that.
If he's on the team, he will play in the preseason.
I know, Sean. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Last segment, we were talking about calls and people who do that. Ew. Larry Futsack tweeted at us, "If my phone is ringing, someone better be dead." Sounds a bit extreme, but generally...
Heart's in the right place. Heart's in the... That's about what I want.
I do think from time to time, when you get a call late at night from certain people, that is the first thought. That is generally the first thought. If my parents are calling me after, like, 9 or 10 o'clock, I'm like, did someone die? Like, that's what I'm thinking. But I try to keep that energy out of my mouth. I don't even want to bring it up because I feel like it's only going to end poorly. Todd the Show, he Twitch comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975. "My lady is annoying like that. She calls when she leaves the driveway." Oh, so she uses you to pass the time while driving?
God,
I know a lot of people that do that.
I hate that so much.
"I'm on a road trip. Hey, it just felt like checking in." Sometimes it's great, but I always feel when someone calls and I pick up, like I have to stay engaged with them as long as they want because I want to make them happy. That's my big problem. I'm such a damn people pleaser. Yeah. Someone calls and the next thing I know, it's been an hour and I'm like, we've talked about the same thing over and over again.
You should just like pull up one of our show rundowns and just start with like, you know. Astros win 6-1 against the Nationals. Did they score too many runs? Here's what Dusty Baker had to say about Yordan's oblique entry. And then they'll just hang up.
I like that. I like that.
D'Amico Ryan says that the Texans plan on rotating their quarterbacks throughout the offseason.
Someone calls in. They're like, I don't like that. Great. It's a good dialogue.
Yeah. You just do the Paul Gallant Show in your phone for your friend. He wants to be entertained. That's the best way. This is where you're at your best, entertaining, you know?
That's true. That is very true. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Entertainer extraordinaire, Paul Gallant, running the show.
Adult entertainer, Paul Gallant.
All right, we're not going that
No,
far.
You're an adult. You entertain adults.
They're not paying me enough to be an adult entertainer. Would I do it? I would have to, by default, get in better shape, so maybe not a bad idea. Maybe not a bad idea. Up next, the Astros won 6-1 over the Nationals. What did the Texas Rangers do last night that the Astros gained some ground in the division? Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All your base are belong to us.
All your base are belong to us.